Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Kenosha Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families Health Equity Podcast Series. Today is going to be an exciting day. You don't want to miss this podcast. Today, I have two exciting individuals with me today. Thank you for being a part of the K-Life Health Equity Podcast Series. Please introduce yourself and provide viewers some details on your role in your program and what you're doing here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Charmaine Harris here. With the Dedicated Dads program here in Kenosha, operated out of the WIC office. And I am the father program coordinator over at the Dedicated Dads program.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you again. I'm Kyle Smith. I am with the Dedicated Dads program as well. Started as a member and now transitioned into a mentor as well too.
You know what? One of the reasons why I wanted to have you both come in today is to talk to the community and viewers about the important role of fatherhood. I just believe tremendously. My father played a big role in my life. So one of the questions I have for you today, fathers play an important role in the development of their children. Do you think that sometimes the father role is overlooked in the community or throughout the United States?
Definitely. But I think things have changed over time. You know, in the past, dads would work a lot and, you know, be out of the household. So it wasn't a lot of nurturing going on. But recently, if you've been paying attention, you'll see a lot of dads like really involved simply because, you know, we have more resources now. We have more time availability to spend with our kids. So there's many different movements going on when it comes to fatherhood. If you look at social media and everybody is starting to pay attention to it. It's kind of fresh, but it's going in the right direction.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I be one of those fathers now that get to the chance to nurture my child a lot. I get to take him to a lot of opportunities like this and a lot of different meetings and things, and it's awesome to watch him grow that way. I think sometimes though, fatherhood is still, you know, it's judged but not appreciated. And even as far as that is gone, we still got a long way to go. I'm just hoping that now these times that we are seeing all these programs, it's not real trendy. It's something that we stick with. That's why you need brothers like us. So,
mm-hmm. I agree that, you know, being a father is not a trend. It is something that you have to be active in.
Yes.
And, you know, because it plays an important role in children's life. Do you believe that playful and affectionate interaction with fathers is shown to predict a child's, you know, positive social, emotional, and, you know, involvement with others? Because statistics state that, you know, when fathers involved, kids do better in school. They do better with, you know, interacting with, you know, other kids socially. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think about that?
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. You know, just to look at the opposite of those statistics, you know, kids do significantly worse, you know, when dad is not involved. But to talk about the more social emotional things, you know, I always bring it up that kids are naturally take more risk when dad is involved. So if I got a 5 month old and a 5 year old, but when AJ, my 5 year old, was younger, he would just jump off the top of the bunk or the wherever I had him at, because he know for a fact that dad is gonna catch him. And I think that when you have fathers involved, you know, kids just are prone to take more risk, you know, even as they get older. You know, when he's riding his bike, you know, I help him out early on, but then he just get going, he falls, he gets back up, you know, whereas, you know, mom might be more nurturing and wanna come and coddle him. Dad is just like, get up. And so that just builds up confidence in kids and, you know, just, it plays a vital role. You know, both roles are important, but, you know, dad is definitely there to help the kid build confidence.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Also, I wanted to note that, you know, I've noticed that with my boys, even at a young age, they're more perceiving to take orders. You know, my oldest is 12, and because he has to for me, and he's learning that discipline and that structure, if a coach, a teacher, anybody else has says something to him, and it's yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And I don't even require him to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am to me, but he knows that with others, you must do this to show respect. So I think it's a huge role having that father there.
You know what? You guys just encompassed into my next question, because, you know, we as mothers, we discipline a lot different. We parent a lot different. You know, they might do something and we might like, oh, it's okay. We want to coddle. We might want to baby them, you know, but fathers generally are more strict. So do you believe a father's approach to household chores or parenting is different than maternal or the way mothers, you know, parent? Because I know for me, I might be strict, but then sometimes I'm like, well, let them have it sometimes, yeah. You know, and the father might come and say, you know.
I think you know, just the simple fact that we are mission driven and purpose driven as men, sometimes we just kind of see the long road most of the time. And mm-hmm. so every time we speak to our kid, it's like a lesson. Like, I'm not talking to my son as a 5-year-old. I'm talking to him as a 10-year-old, as right. a 21-year-old. So with that in my mindset, I'm not just telling you for the moment what to do. Right. It's like telling you to wash the dishes a certain way is going to impact you down the line. You know, for example, with my daughter, you know, when you wash the dishes, put the forks down and the spoons upward. You know what I mean? Because if somebody go to reach for the fork, you know, they're going to poke themselves or put the knives down. Right. And so now when she gets older, she'll be able to have those same lessons and teach her kids.
Right.
And I think the simple fact that we just have the natural baritone in our voice, mm-hmm. it makes a difference. So nothing, you know, to minimize mother's role or anything, but that's just who we are. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's so important.
Definitely. And especially if you come from a sports background like myself. The one thing I will say, though, is sometimes as fathers, we can be a little too preachy, I guess, is what my boy has talked to me about. He said, sometimes, you know, you're just kind of preachy sometimes, Dad. You're just preaching to me a little bit. But like Charmaine was saying, it is important. It's important to that structure and to that foundation building with them. And I actually explained to even my two youngest as mm-hmm. if they are already, you know, and I'm speaking to my grandchildren, even the 12-year-old, I let them be known like, hey, I am teaching you these things and speaking to you in this manner so that you can continue forward. This is a foundation to build you for success later on in life. So
I like the way that you guys explained it. You know, you're talking about this is a future goal. This is a foundation. Mm-hmm. And so you guys are building strong men that's going to be able to, you know, go through any challenges, any exactly. factors that they face. So one of the things we want to talk about that research and data, because you know how research and data just drive everything. So have you seen the global studies on why and how fathers matter in the home environment? Research shows that the quality of time is more important than the quantity of time, because some people don't even realize it. Just a father coming over and just reading that book with that child, that quality, you know, mm-hmm. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, walking that child to school, he's imparting on that child and saying, hey, look both ways before you walk, you know, across mm-hmm. the street. Oh, did you do your homework today? Mm-hmm. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. That quality time for me, even though my dad worked a lot of hours sometimes, he would just come in late at night and have some cheese wedges. People don't even know. And we weren't even supposed to be eating cheese wedges right. late at night. And he would come in and say, here's some cheese wedges. You know, eat them real quick. You know, give you a kiss and, you know, go out the door. That quality of time stuck with me to what I wanted for my kids. So what do you think about that?
That's very a good example you gave there. You know, this just the simple fact that you remembered that just showed you the yeah. impact. You know what I mean? And we actually were just talking about this yesterday in group.
Yeah.
It's a fine balance between, you know, time and at work, you know, time mm-hmm. is money, and then spending time with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And as fathers, we do have to be intentional about the time that we spend with our kids. So I think, you know, with that research there, it's just that fathers are more intentional. And we was talking to the dads yesterday. As you know, in the dads program, I try to equip dads to be the best right. that they can be. And some of this knowledge is new to them. So I'm just simply saying, like, sometimes you have to cut off everything else
correct.
And make yes. sure you're spending that time with right. your kids. Put the phone up. Stop scrolling social media.
Right.
Stop watching TV. You have to let your job know sometimes that family is important.
Right.
And sometimes I'm not going to be doing all this overtime. If you can right. stand it. I'm not saying, you know, go and tell you. Boss, I'm not firing tomorrow.
Don't get fired.
But just having that value and, you know, knowing who you are and mm-hmm. knowing that, you know, you need to be intentional about the time you spend with your kids
correct.
Is super important.
I agree.
Without a doubt. And I give an example of kind of the reverse side of it, the kind of bad side of it. So it's my nephew. He's 3 years old now. And, you know, his father owns his own business, doing very successful for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But his time spent with him is not as quality as what it could mm-hmm. be. For example, playing in the front yard. My nephew, he just runs in the middle of the street.
Hmm.
I pull him back. I say, nephew, you know, Malachi, that's not what we do, man. This is to protect you and be safe. I sit him down, he does it again. So that lets me know that there's times and opportunities for his father to spend that extra time and actually impact him with a goal oriented, like, hey, son, I need to teach you how to play in the yard here. I need to teach you to do this. And sometimes I feel like as parents and young parents, we may expect kids to know things sometimes before they can actually do them. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to add, you know, I love this research and all that, but sometimes you got to pay attention to it. A lot of times it says this number is because father is not in the household. So what we have sometimes now is, you know, it's not your traditional way of growing up. You know, mom and dad may have not gotten married. You know, it might be a kid and then dad comes along and he's a stepfather now or stepmother. So we have to consider the quality time of a dad that a dad spends with his kids, even though him and mom are not together. And so, you know, they may be dealing with divorce or custody issues. And so I just want to get the message out there to that dad that's listening. You still have to do all that you can to be in that kid's life.
Correct.
And for the mothers, you know, it's very important. I know some emotional barriers there sometimes, you know, especially when it's fresh. But we have to realize that once we have kids, it's about them for the most part.
Correct. You know what? That goes into the next question because, you know, what do you think of some of the biases that people have out there? You know, that mothers parent their kids and fathers babysit their children. And for me, that was a hard bias because, you know, I had both parents and neither one of them babysit me. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they raised me and they did the best that they could with me. You know, whether it was perfect and imperfect, I still take some of the things that I learned from them to this day to raise my own children. So what do you think of those biases when they think, well, mothers, they just parent and, you know, fathers babysit? I don't agree with that bias at all.
Not at all. I think it's just like a bad perception that is just perpetuated throughout even media and things that we see. I just don't know how, you know, a child can be made by two people.
Correct.
But then only raised by one person.
Correct.
The other person just is supposed to make money or pay these bills. So it's something that I guess I'm going to use the word I hate. I despise it. I despise the word babysitting my kids. I don't even look at it as babysitting my nieces and nephews.
Correct.
I'm taking care of them right now. Mm-hmm. This is a part of my village. So, you know, me, that just gets my blood boiling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you buy into some of the, you know, social factors that kind of play into this, you'll get lost easily. You know, when you think about even TV.
Right.
And things you watch on TV. In the past, we grew up watching Uncle Phil.
Right.
And, yes.
You know, the Jeffersons and all these, you know, monumental father roles. But later on, you know, you got the dumbed down father.
Correct.
Homer Simpson.
Right.
Peter Griffin, My Wife and Kids.
Correct.
The dad is just being stumped. And even, you know, people be making little jokes and stuff like, dad doesn't know how to change a diaper and all.
Right.
I don't
Correct.
Agree with that. It's dads out here that's, I've seen it myself out here doing their thing when it comes to, you know, taking care of their kids. So I don't agree with that word babysitting even being used when it comes to someone taking care of their kids. And also just to add to that, you know, it's something called maternal gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, this happens most of the time when there's a split. And so, what happens is, for whatever reasons, many times it's the emotional things, you know, dad's moved on or
Correct.
Mom's moved on. And
Right.
The kid is kind of used as a token.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so I can see how that may be the perception if dad is only seeing his kid three times a week for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a daycare, you know, if you will. But really, he's taking care of his kids, but because of the circumstances, someone may think that, oh, you only have your kids this amount of time a week, you just babysitting. But just it depends, you know, most of the time when it comes to those partnerships.
You know, you talked about partnerships, and then, you know, you talked about it being a village. What are two things that most fathers want their kids to know when they're parenting? You know, because some kids just take it, well, dad just, he just hard on us, or dad just don't love us because, you know, he's strict. So for me, I took it in reverse. When my dad was getting on me, he told me this, I want to make you better. And then, you know, one of the things he said, when you date, I want you to bring somebody that compliments you because you are a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew when he got on me, he just wanted to make me better. Do you think there's two things that kids feel that way?
I think there's been a shift. You know, our parents or your father or my father, you know, was kind of the same way. But the edge has softened a little bit. And so dads really just want to nurture their kids more. And because they're able to spend more time with them, they are able to. And so, I mean, fathers really just want to do what they did not have in their life growing up. And so many of the dads I work with, I always say this, that, you know, I probably spoke to over 500-600 dads. And I can say that, honestly, a lot of them didn't have their father in their lives at all. Or if he was around, then it wasn't the greatest example. And so now they go about creating their own thing, and which we talk about is you being the father that you choose to be in your household. And so dads really just want the kids to know that they're loved, you know, that they're protected, that they're going to take care of them, especially the dads that's not in the household with their kids. You know, they're dealing with divorce or custody. I see it all the time. These dads are not what the world paints them to be. I don't even like to use the term deadbeat dad or whatever. They're just going through some things. And so they still in awe. Their driving force, their, you know, motivation for every day is their children.
Yeah, definitely. So and speaking about, you know, the fathers being there, and well, I definitely know that in speaking with my 12-year-old, he thinks that mama's nicer, daddy's a little meaner. So what I try to explain to him is I'm going to give you a balance. Mother's going to give you this portion, and I'm going to give you this portion. And I tell him, I can give you a perspective from the world I grow up in, but that wouldn't be fair. So I'm going to show you the difference between how I had it and now how you have it. And I want you to make decisions now based upon that. So I try to teach him decision making and just be a balanced and well-rounded person. I mean, he's doing pretty doggone good so far. So.
And I like that word you use, balance. You know, you can't effectively discipline your child if you don't, if you're just always this, you know, strict, you know, militant, you know, yelling at your kids. You got to have that nurturing in there, because you have to have a, you know, buy-in from your kid. You know, y'all, it's a partnership. It's not a dictatorship. And so, you know, just letting the dads know that, you know, you got to have that balance. You know, you can't just be one way. You can't, there's no manual on how to get there. It's something, sometimes you just got to learn by trial and error.
You know what? I like the thing that you guys said, partnership, balance, and trial and error. Because some people don't understand that, you know, I know mothers carry the children and we have the children, but sometimes we exclude the fact that you guys have feelings in that process. We do. We exclude that. Well, we carried this child for 9 months. So this is my child. This is my baby. And sometimes you have to stop, pause, and breathe and realize I might have carried it, but he has emotion. This is just as much of his child as is mine.
And that's what I tell the young fathers. You have to realize that. And that's how a woman feels, you know. And it's true. You know, the process of creation is just a miracle in itself. So just tell them, like, bruh, a human being just grew inside her. You know, just think about that for a second. And so, you know, we talk about this all the time with the K-Life Initiative and speaking about postpartum depression and all of that. And so father has to be aware of that. You know, what she's saying or complaining about is not really the issue. It's just so many different variables going on at the moment that it comes out a certain way. So I'm for, like, trying to keep the families together. And so I tell the young guys, like, you have to be understanding. Don't mean you got to be a doormat and get walked on, because it can strike you a little bit emotionally. But you do have to be a little tough. You do have to have a little bit more tough skin.
Definitely. For me, I started in the beginning with my last son, because trial and error, of course. So I knew that from the very day she was pregnant is to, first of all, be there and be with her and rub that belly, talk to her, but let her know, hey, this is how I feel about certain things going forward. As a father, these are things that are important to me. What's important to you? So that communication piece helps with, you know, the partner understanding you have emotions, because the rest of the world is not going to understand it. As a father, you do have emotions as well, too. I've sat in courtrooms now, and they look at me like I'm just supposed to just figure it out, but I'm emotional too. I'm hurting here too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something I feel like is left out that I just want to note on is that when a child's born and two people don't work it out and that, mm-hmm. that split happens, I think it's totally forgotten that a father is hurting here as well too. He's missing out, you know, on those times of waking up with the child.
Right.
Putting him to bed,
right.
making those bottles at night and dealing right. with him crying. We don't want the women to go through that on their own. It's just right. these other circumstances we're going through. So,
you know what? Yeah. I'm going to go into that next question because what you both said encompassed that. You know, can you explain to the viewers what some of the fathers go through when they're not included in the parenting process? And one reason why I ask this question is because I call it the Superman syndrome. A lot of women feel that men have an S on their chest. Mm-hmm. And then until they see that pain and they realize your kryptonite, your weakness. And so I know this sounds weird, but sometimes I think parents use their children mm-hmm. as that kryptonite. Mm-hmm. And that's that weakness for Superman. So do you see, you know, with fathers, is similar to that?
Definitely. You know, that's one of the bases of the Dedicated Dads program. Realizing that, you know, a lot of these dads that's going through this, mm-hmm. and it's not just the custody issue, you know, they're dealing with, you know, sometimes reentry and, mm-hmm. You know, ex-incarcerated because right. of not inability to pay their child support and, mm-hmm. You know, their dad wasn't there. And so when we get into groups, it's a time or an outlet for the dads to kind of get that off their chest. Mm-hmm. And just yesterday, you know, when we was talking, one of the older gentlemen, older than me, told us how he reconciled with his wife after coming okay. to the program.
Yeah.
And
that's
now they're working on getting back together. Mm-hmm. But yes. I think many times people just don't understand that. And they, mm-hmm. they think that men, as men, we should be able to handle certain things.
Right.
I always say there is an accountability factor in there. You do need to be taking care of your kids.
Correct.
But in the event that you can't because of so many different circumstances, mm-hmm. you got a felony, you can't. Get right. a job, and or you get a job and it's not a sustainable job.
Correct.
You got to pay child support for this amount of kids.
Correct.
The other day, or not the other day, a couple weeks back, a guy returned from prison after doing 10 years and he was $120,000 in debt.
See.
And so when you think about that, think about how much depression goes into that. Think
Correct.
About how much anxiety goes into that.
Correct.
He probably will never be in the positive
Correct.
Financially.
Correct.
And so now he gets a job and he still has to pay all of that back. You can only imagine what someone will go through. And,
Correct.
You know, in terms of custody, it's a book by attorney Jeffrey Levin. Mm-hmm. And it's called Father's Rights. And he spells out how sometimes when a father is not able to see his kid,
right,
he will purposely withhold the payments.
Correct.
Because it's his last chance
Correct.
Of hope. And so it's a desperate cry.
Correct.
You know, but why he's doing it is understandable. He's thinking in his mind that if I don't pay, maybe I'll be able to see my kids.
Correct.
And so that only hurts him. So if you listen to this, pay your child support
ASAP.
Don't have that feeling, but I understand it. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just to add to the question, depression, anxiety, we all know that 70% of suicides
yes.
are men.
Yes.
And
yes.
so many of those things go into it when they feel like they're not, you know, in their purpose or living
Correct.
Their mission. And then on top of that, the world is telling
right.
them, you know, you ain't nothing. You,
Correct.
You deserve yes. to be at the bottom.
Correct.
You know, I can understand it, you know.
Yeah, and we just, I mean, I brought it up yesterday in group as well, too. And this feels like to me is speaking on mental health. And it's something that, you know, fathers that are listening to this,
mm-hmm.
talk to someone, get some help. Because, yes, it is hard, but it gets easier with time. Mm-hmm. And the more you can open up and discuss it, the better it can be. And like Charmaine just mentioned, we have a gentleman in the group that his wife and him are working things out because mm-hmm. she may not have seen full changes yet, but she mm-hmm. sees the progression starting for him in groups and things like that. And that was just him saying, you know what, I need help with this. But sometimes as men, I just want to note that although it does get hard and we try everything we can, sometimes you just got to go get help, you know, and find those resources.
And you know, Kyle here has been very instrumental to the program, being willing to open up, being willing to share. It gives the other guys the mindset or the opportunity to open up themselves. And, you know, just yesterday, you know, your situation happened. If you
yeah, I
share,
can speak
but,
on it. Yeah,
It was tough for you, though, you know.
Super tough. I just recently lost my uncle to suicide.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. He fell on hard times. You know, he was an alcoholic. I'm not afraid to say that. I love my uncle to death. For a lot of my life, he was. But he was the same man that, although he had these issues, he was still able to impact so many of his nieces and nephews. I just wish, you know, he would have been able to know how much we mm-hmm. really did care. That's on us. But, you know, he didn't feel like he had help. Mm-hmm. He was asking people to come see him. He was asking people to come visit him, and they weren't able to. And I'm able to open up and share these things because I myself, at a younger age, around 25, 24, I was able to identify with my own mental mm-hmm. weaknesses and my own sicknesses that I Correct. Needed to go get help for. So it's something that, yeah, definitely I'm willing to open to share about it, but it took me some time yeah. to get there, fellas. So don't feel like, you know, you should already be there, because it's a process. And even being a father, like we said, it's trial and error. And it's the same thing when it comes to your health as well, too.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that you guys are willing to talk about, because I know with my kids at first, when they looked at their dad, you know, it was funny. Like you guys said, my daughter used to jump off the school bus onto her dad. Mm-hmm. And she was 3 years old. And as soon as the door opened, she'd just leap. She wouldn't even see him. And he'd just have his arms out. And I was amazed. I said, "You're going to drop her." He said, "She knows I have her." Mm-hmm. And so she's, you know, one of the things they had to realize the first time they seen their dad cry, they were like, "Dad is no longer Superman." They felt the S on his chest was cracked. And they saw weakness. They thought he was unbreakable.
But see, I say that he was even more of a Superman.
That's how I felt.
For being willing to shed those tears
Correct.
In front of his kids. Because, you know, sometimes you can get caught up in trying to put on this facade and thinking that you do Correct. Have to be that, because the world tells you have to be that. But guys that are able to get to that point where they're Right. securing themselves and securing their family, expressing yourself emotionally
Correct.
Is the best way to deal with that mental health, because we bottle it in sometimes. It's harboring resentment.
Correct.
And, you know, they always say, you know, resentment is like you drinking a can of poison and expecting somebody Right. else to die from it. It's only eating you up.
Correct.
And so, you know, that was just hugely important that your dad was able to shed those tears mm-hmm. in front of his kids.
Because, you know, my dad would cry in front of us and said, my dad said that was normal. Mm-hmm. But when we were younger, based on our religion, I was told that crying was a sign of a weakness. Mm-hmm. So I didn't cry a lot until I got 19. And my dad was like, it's always okay yeah. to cry. And then so with their dad, when my children seen their dad cry, because he was always taught as a kid, too, by his grandfather and dad, that crying is a sign of a weakness. Oh, that's yeah. not strong. Yeah. So mm-hmm. when they seen it, they was like, what do I do? So I yeah. had my daughter in the room. Dad's crying. I don't know what to do. And I'm like,
he's from the old school. Too,
yeah, probably. He's from old school, yeah. you know. And so I said, hug him. Talk to him.
My son just fell off the bike, you know, a week ago. And it was, you know, usually I'm just like, you know, I just watch yeah. him and see if he's going to get up. But this time he has scraped his fingers pretty good. And so he looking at me. And you know this because, yeah. Kyle, your son in sports, you know, they always check in with you
oh, yes,
to see if
you
approve.
Yes.
And so he scraped his fingers, and I'm just watching me trying to hold it in. I just walked up to him and said, "Son, let it out.
Yep.
It's okay to
right.
cry." I'm like, go with your mom, you know, because mom is going to nurture him more and get the Band-Aids for him
right.
and all of that. So he did that, and I'm like, it's okay to cry, son, you know.
Right.
And there's always lessons in those crying moments. I remember, you know, with my oldest son, soccer's his thing, and he's a left winger. Mm-hmm. So that's the star of the team. But the coach wanted him to play a different position that game, mm-hmm. and they lost.
Oh.
So after the game, I could see it. I could see the tears about to come. I could see it. I'm like, come here, Aiden, come here.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. And, you know, sometimes you do revert back to how you were raised, because my
Correct.
First thought was, boy, quit crying. That's what the coach wanted you to do. Like, come on, man. That's sports.
Right.
But I paused. I thought about it. And honestly, because me and my significant other, we communicate so much.
Right.
I thought, how would she handle this too?
Mm-hmm.
So I calmed down, paused a little bit, and I put a little of my flavor on it, and mm-hmm. it became a learning lesson now for him that, you know, those emotions, that shows you care. Your coach is happy that you care. But at the end of the day, he is the leader of this team. He sees something in you that can help the team that you may not even know, and this is a part of you just being selfless. You're still going to get your time at left winger. And now, since those moments, he's in seventh grade now playing against eighth graders, and now he's a midfielder. His position has totally changed, which is a more important role on the soccer field. Now he's seeing that. So sometimes you get those life lessons, excuse me, in those crying moments.
I think you guys explained a great way. You talked about mental health, but also you talked about playing on the field. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, fathers have a role that's similar like that. You guys are the coaches, and the kids are basically the players on the field, that quarterback and whatever. And you see your kids and you see their vision, you know their skills. And you saying, okay, Johnny, go left because I know you're great at math. You know, I need you to be the linebacker, you know, Michael, because you're good. You're my science kid. So I see fathers in that coach field, you know, type of sports type of way, because you guys are going to call those plays down. And then sometimes we as the woman, we're receiving that. We don't hear it right sometimes through the earphones. And we send the plays different ways. Where the kids is got toys everywhere and things is not where you guys want them to be. So with that in line, I know the Dedicated Dad program is a great program. Give the viewers some ideas on the curriculum and what they will learn if they came to the Dedicated Dad program.
And so, you know, the curriculum we use is the Nurturing Fathers curriculum. By a guy named Mark Perlman out of Florida. And, you know, it takes a deep dive into the father. And so the ultimate goal is to equip the father so much that he goes home and shares this knowledge with his family, and he's able to implement the strategies we use. So I always say the first session we go through is where we talk about the father in history. And we ask the dads about their dads. And what we find is, you know, many times there's deep wounds and deep scars. Both men and women have this. And because we naturally base a lot of our parenting off how we was parented. And so what we do is let the dads know that you have to decide to be the father that you should be. Or you need to be. And then we jump into, you know, co-parenting. You know, this always seems to be the longest session. I have to always tell them, like, look, we're not here to bash moms. Yes, I get it. You know, many of you are not seeing your kids. Many of you are dealing with, you know, some unique situations. But let's see what we can do to still navigate through some of those circumstances. So we can still be the best father that we can be. And then what else are we talking about? I know I'm the facilitator.
I mean, we talk about finances, how to manage your money, opportunities. And one thing that this group has become is a networking opportunity. You know, even yesterday I was talking with a gentleman who, you know, he's done some time and he's re-entering into this world we're in. And he's already working, but he's got ideas for how to start his own business. And it's something that I'm embarking on, being self-employed and starting my own business and getting to that point. So then he had questions for me so we can share and bounce off each other, even help each other find jobs as well too. And one big thing that, you know, is it's not really in the curriculum, but you mentioned it, but I learned from is how to apply the things that we learn, how to apply them to my life, how to apply them to my family, and how to teach them to others. There's so many youngins growing up that they may not want to come to the group, but because I'm empowered by this group, when I see them, come here, little man, let me holler at you real quick, you know? So those are some of the beautiful things that may not be in the curriculum, but that's what we're learning in this group as well, too.
You must feel just elated to hear one of your mentors, you know, just spew off all of this greatness. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely been a vital part of the program. And since he first got there, like, no shyness about him, like, the first day, I got something on my chest. It's a perfect outlet for me to tell somebody.
So. It's like, I tell everybody in the group, you know, I don't go to church on Sundays necessarily. I go on Tuesdays. So that's my church. I don't mean to be blasphemous or anything towards anybody, but for me, it's my ability to get right for the week. You know, some people take Monday and Sunday. It's Tuesday for me. And even in the field I do business in, it's 24/7 for me a lot of times. So this is my way of restarting my day, but as well, I see the rewards of benefiting from, you know, I had a guy yesterday that was in the group. He said, man, you know, the group's much better when you're here, man. You just open up and you talk more. He's like, you know, a lot of times guys might get scared, but then you start opening up, man. So then I want to open up too. And that meant something to me. That's like, man, because like I told him, I'm here to get help too, brother. Like, I may be becoming a mentor, but every day I'm growing and learning and changing as a better man. So, because I do have one of those unique situations that can pull you all different types of ways, make you make some bad decisions. So it also, you know, one thing that, you know, we didn't mention that a lot of guys I feel like are learning too is accountability. You know, being able to show up on time. You know, sometimes you would see people show up late here and there, but you're not seeing that as much anymore. You're seeing guys on time, like they want to be here. They know that this is important to them. There's one gentleman who works in a group. He told me, and he's been going for a very long time. He said, man, Tuesday, everything's blocked off. He said, I may be a little late, but everything's blocked off because this is that important to me. So everybody listening out there, that's what you'll get from this group, is that energy, that fellowship, that confidence, that strength, that and the resources, man. It's just phenomenal. I mean, look, I started off not knowing what to expect from this group, and now I'm sitting here in a podcast enjoying the heck out of myself and being able to continue to help others as well, too. So it's a beautiful, beautiful mission.
And it's even powerful with Kyle here, and, you know, you don't got to go into it, but he's dealing with a lot of different things, and for him to have that demeanor and that, stellar attitude, you know, it's just shows the character that he's developed, you know, not necessarily because of me, you know, he already had it. He just found a place where he can exhibit it and kind of pull it out a little bit more.
You know what? I think you gave the viewers something that's so powerful, impactful. You gave them a very insight on what the Dedicated Dad program is, what it's going to be doing, and they're not ready for what's going to happen in 2020. Yeah. Look out.
They gotta get ready.
Look out, because it's just going to be so powerful. How do the viewers, if somebody want to participate in the Dedicated Dad program, how do they get involved?
So we're operated at the Kenosha WIC office, 2063rd Street, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53143. You can come there and inquire, or you can reach me at my work cell phone, 262-902-8055, or my email, sharris@rkcaa.org.
Any last words and additional information you want to share with the viewers about the Dedicated Dad program, about being a mentor?
I want to share, you know, the fact that, you know, I always say this, I work at the WIC office. And so WIC stands for Women, Infants, and Children. And so we've been thankful to be able to have so much success. But just think about that name and the work we had to do to make this into more of a father-friendly environment. And so I know some of your viewers are, you know, organizations or people that are part of bigger organizations. Sometimes you have to make an extra effort to be more welcoming and more engaging to the fathers that come into your facilities. Even the school systems sometimes, because sometimes dads may not feel welcome there, and so they don't show up. And so you'll greatly increase your participation and all those things that come with programming if you make an intentional effort to be more engaging and more encouraging to the fathers that come into your office, because they are already coming. They just don't know what's going on here. And I always say, you know, program is like shopping. You know, the difference between a male and woman is a dad goes to the Walmart. He know exactly what he getting in and getting out. Mom, you know, she's going to, you know, see somebody she know and talk for 20 minutes and all of that. So one of the things the Dedicated Dads program did was just, look, these are the benefits, these are the incentives, and, you know, everything else that comes with it, and that's it. You decide if you want to be a part of that. You know, and I just want to throw out there, too, once a dad completes the Dedicated Dads program, we've developed a partnership with the Child Support Agency here in town. They receive $250 towards their state debt. So those birth expenses you may have. In addition to that, we're partnered with the YMCA, where once a dad completes six sessions with me, he receives a YMCA membership for him and his entire family for 6 months. And so we wanted to make sure we had that, because that's a way of kind of relieve your stress. Go running. If mom and dad aren't seeing eye to eye, it's like a neutral place where they can maybe meet, watch the kids play, maybe discuss some small things so it don't go there. But I just wanted to throw out the incentives to the program as well before we wrap it up here.
Definitely. And before we get out of here, I just wanted to note that iron sharpens iron. And what I mean by that is, even if you're not having the issues I may be having or other men are, you could be the greatest father in the world. Come on out, man. Iron sharpens iron. You know, we all need that feedback. It's a village. And in a village, you know, I was taught that no matter if you are the leader of your village, you can learn from another leader as well, too. So,
yeah. And so, yeah, good comment there. Because the perception can be that this is just for, like, low-income father.
Correct.
Or, you know, they call them high risk or whatever. I call them fathers.
Correct.
this is for anybody. We've had people, you know, 200K plus business mm-hmm. owners, people that do business overseas mm-hmm. and all of that, be a part of the program. And so what happens is you realize that, okay, I'm at this level and this is happening. He at this level and that's still happening. There's some commonalities here.
Right.
And so no matter the differences of, you know, opinions on many things, guys are kind of coming together. And then that networking piece is added until the point where, you know, I tell the guys, y'all network with each other. It ain't about me. Mm-hmm. It's about y'all.
Definitely.
You know what? I thank you guys for coming out. Charmaine and Kyle, I really enjoyed you guys. This was fun. This was impactful.
It was, yeah.
Thank you for just letting people know the impact of fatherhood involvement on children's lives.
Yes.
And, you know, I hope in the community that people continue to put fathers as a part of the partnership in the relationship and not separate or divide the father.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a part of the partnership with the mother and the child, and that the father's goal, you know, putting the child first.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of parents have to realize that the fatherhood, it just wants to make sure their kids are loved, like you said, protected. You guys want a balance, you guys want a foundation, and you guys just want to have a voice and you want to be heard. You want your kids to be educated. And I think once the community realized that fathers want the same things that mothers want, mm-hmm. it's no different.
Yeah.
You know,
and adjust to the times. You know, in the past, I understand it. You know, we had wars going on. Mm-hmm. Many men was out doing their thing and, you know, working in certain industries. And so the support program-wise mm-hmm. was intentional about, you know, helping mom and children,
mm-hmm.
which was great. But now things have changed.
Correct.
You know, dads are coming to the appointments.
Correct.
They're more involved. They're asking questions. So we have to adapt to the new change that has happened.
Correct.
Since then.
You know, including fathers and just, you know, like you said, those medical appointments, because they do want to know, including them in the WIC appointment, including them in the IEP plan when the kids go to school.
Yep.
Because, you know, kids do better when dad knows what's going on with them mentally, you know, physically and socially.
Yep.
So I thank you guys for coming out. I really enjoyed you guys today.
Thank you.
Please take notes. This is September Infant Mortality Awareness Month for Kenosha Life Course Initiative. This will conclude our last health equity podcast, and we're ended it with the dedicated dad,
yeah.
You know, program with Charmaine Harris and with Kyle. I don't know if anybody understands the important role that you guys have in the community and what the next 5 years will look like for this program. I would like to see some call to actions too for your program too, for some legislations to also change. I talked about it in the Let's Talk Mental Health with Dr. Dominique Pritchard.
Okay.
We did a podcast on Saturday and we were talking about mental health. So I want
to
see some legislations about that will change for fathers in the community, you know, especially about the reentry program, about how when fathers are incarcerated, I want to eliminate those roadblocks that they have when they come out and they need to get employment. I want to eliminate those roadblocks when it comes down to child support, to how do we decrease those financial obligations to where they can see their kids. So, and I've reached out to legislators to change some things, but I do want another call to action. I'm going to say that again for fatherhood involvement too as well.
And with the new administration, there are some things happening. You had Shalonda Black on here as
correct.
Well. We're discussing a few things with our partnership, and there's some new ways of business happening.
Correct.
You know, one thing Governor Evers put out is generally the dad has the birth expenses automatically.
Correct.
And so he put out a thing in a newspaper. I'm not sure if it's stuck yet, but about how that may be a shared responsibility.
Correct.
Or, you know, the state may help pick up some of those expenses.
Right.
Because, you know, when you come out the hospital, you like $1,800 in a hole.
Right.
Correct.
And then, you know, correct. Child support if you know, you need certain programs or the mother needs certain programs. So
and
there's hope.
And if you have a premature baby, it's more. I know with my first daughter, she was premature,
mm-hmm.
1 pound, 14.5 ounces. And a lot of people don't know, I didn't have state insurance. And so I had private insurance through my employer. It cost me $50,000 for my child to be in there for that 3 months.
That's
so it's a lot. And so that's why it was a big call to action. And so me and Shalonda talked about it with child support, saying, okay, you can cover $25,000, but they wanted the father to cover the other $25,000 of the cost. And I said, but we're a family unit. Mm-hmm. We can tackle this together. And so, you know, she, you know, Shalonda came in and talked about how the, you know, like you said, the new legislation will look like and what they want to do. And so for me personally, I would like for them to push that forward so that fathers can have a better chance with their children to understand that, yes, it can be expensive, but fathers want to be there.
Definitely.
So, I mean, I thank you guys for just sharing, you know, your stories and then just impacting me. I had a great day today. So.
Shout out to you. Shout out to, just want to put that on record. Shout out to Atifa. You know, I do a co-parenting workshop, and I invite, you know, mothers to come in, or, you know, women to come in and kind of add that other perspective to it. And she's come over and been a part of the group, you know, very warm and welcoming to the guys, and raw and real at the same time. Shout out to you, and we appreciate you having us on here.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. I want to thank Kenosha Life Course Initiative for Healthy Family for giving me this platform, WPP, our funders, for giving us this platform as well, and Kenosha County Division of Health, you know, also for providing this platform to ensure that we are able to address the community with all the social determinants that affect, you know, birth outcomes. One of the things we wanted to talk about is fatherhood involvement is big on improving birth outcomes. So we didn't want to leave that out for Infant Mortality Month for September. Stay tuned, viewers, for our last podcast. It would be a conclusion podcast to just thank all of our supporters and everybody in the community that supported us through this journey as we entered into this podcast. Again, my name is Tifa Robinson. I'm the project manager for K-Life. Enjoy your day and have a good night.